Fascinating character study and the ability of a good person to use a consequentialist mindset to rationalize morally wrong choices. With a brief instance or two of crude language, Quiz Show is suited for older teens and adults. Nominated for Best Picture, the film stars John Turturro, Rob Morrow, and Ralph Fiennes as Charles Van Doren, with an all-star supporting cast. With this Family Media Minute, I'm Tom McDonald.
Sharing the truth of our Catholic faith, this is Archangel Radio, WNGL, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM, Mobile, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. It's very good to have your company this Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening, whatever time you're listening to us. It could be Tuesday afternoon if you're listening in Europe. You're very welcome. This is the part of the show where we come together as a praying family. We've just been hearing about the wonderful example of Mother Teresa. And whatever she was doing for the poor, the disadvantaged, and anybody else in society, it was done with a spirit of prayer. That woman could not have survived all those years doing what she did without a deep, deep sense of prayer, which is what? Talking to God. That's what it's about. And sometimes talking to God is bringing to God, our Father, the needs that we have. And that's what we do in this prayer each day. We do it in the form of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I am very privileged to have with me each day a prayer warrior. So let's find out today who is our prayer warrior.
Kevin, on the line with us is one of our most decorated prayer warriors, Miss Kay Rim.
Kay, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to welcome you back, buddy. We missed you.
Well, it's great to have you back. You're not so much a prayer warrior, Kay, as a prayer centurion. I think we promoted you on the last occasion. You're such a force of nature when it comes to this. It's very, very good to hear your voice again. I don't know if you caught some of the interview with Jim Towie about Mother Teresa we just had.
Unfortunately, I did not. But, maybe one split second, I knew it was that y'all were talking about Mother Teresa, but I didn't get to hear it all, no.
Well, you're more than welcome to listen on the playback, but
she's such a
phenomenal woman, and all of us of a certain generation will always remember Mother Teresa and the impact she had on world leaders, on popes, on everybody she met, but above all, the quiet presence she had, which I'm sure you'll agree, Kay, was dominated and motivated by one of close prayer to our Lord.
Exactly. And I think to me, of course, the statue that she had, she was such a small, short lady, but such a big, what's the word? I can't even say the word that I want to use as far as to express her magnificence. That she had,
yeah, as far as magnificence,
her staff, yeah, very small, but she's just so larger than life, I guess.
Absolutely, she was what we'd say in journalism was a towering presence. Wherever she went, she seemed to outshine everybody, be it even when she stood beside Princess Diana, who was one of the most beautiful women of her day. The eyes went to Mother Teresa. Everybody was looking at Mother Teresa, which must have been a bit of a shock to Princess Diana, but that's another story. Good. Well, Kay, it's very good to have you back, and we are open for business here. We're open for anybody who wants to send us your prayer requests. You've got Kay on the job, you've got me on the job. What more do you want? And the whole of the Archangel Radio prayer family will come together and pray for your intentions. And there are two ways in which you can enlist us in that. You can call the show on 888-928-0881, and we'd be delighted to speak to you live on air. You don't have to say who you are, but we'd like to know what it is you want us to pray for, of course. Or alternatively, you might want to just text the show. Well, it takes about a minute to do. 251-928-2111. Text us your prayer request, and we will immediately pray for it, whatever it is. No request too small, no request too large. We do large, we do small, and we do everything in between. Isn't that right, Kay?
Exactly. We're on it, Kat.
We're on it. And I'm hoping, Kay, that you have brought a whole saddlebag full of requests for today.
Oh, I've got several. So
I don't think we're going to run out.
But, you know, I don't want.
Good, but let's give them each one the respect it needs, though. Okay, so let's not rattle through them. We're gonna just take it nice and slowly. Now we've got a couple of requests that have also come in, and we'll just work those into that. But I suggest that we start, and then we will come to you for that first decade. How does that sound, Kay?
Sounds perfect. Perfect.
Let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so for this first decade, Kay, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Okay, we had a big weekend here with the ordination this past weekend at the cathedral downtown, and we had two wonderful, I mean, absolutely wonderful young men. Father Thomas LaPointe was ordained to the priesthood on Saturday, and Deacon Joseph Schultz was ordained to the diaconate on Saturday. And I've gotten to know both of these guys, and I just can't even express how happy and proud I was, one, to even be able to be there for the ordination and to help out with the dinner the night before, but just... these two young men, I'm telling you, they're both going to bring so many people to Jesus. And I cry through the whole ordination. I get very emotional. That's just the way I am. And, it just was so powerful. So now we have Father Thomas LaPointe, and we were hoping we were going to get him at St. Dominic's, but he's going to be at St. Columbia in Dothan, Alabama. And then Deacon Schultz, Deacon Joseph, he's got, you know, of course, one more year. So he'll be up in Indiana at the seminary for his one last year. So the next year we'll have his ordination. So anyway, can you tell I'm excited about this?
I can, Ken. It's wonderful. It's wonderful news that these ordinations, both to the priesthood and the diaconate, are taking place. So let's pray for Father Thomas, and let's pray for Deacon Joseph. Let's pray for all the other seminarians that are there for Mobile Archdiocese, and let's also include in this, Kay, all existing priests and deacons right across the Archdiocese.
Amen. And we need to pray for all those discerning any type of vocation, but especially if it is for the religious life, whether it be a priest, a nun, you know, a deacon, whatever, We need more. So that's our prayer. Okay.
Yep. Right. We need more. We need lots of good and holy men and women who are dedicating their lives to Christ in these particular vocations. So let's offer it up. Let's ask divine mercy to come into this situation. Pray for everybody across the Archdiocese of Mobile, everybody who's in service and ministry, ordained ministry at this time, that they will strive for holiness just as Mother Teresa did.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much. Okay, so that's us up and running. Now, while we've been on air, we've had a text from Sherry. Sherry, who we all know here at Archangel Radio. Good morning to you, Sherry. I hope you're well. We definitely prayed for the Jakeson family yesterday. I don't know if you heard that. Joe Raskoski asked that we pray for everybody there. Now, Sherry has a rather sad intention for us to pray for this morning, Kay. She's asking for prayers for a young man by the name of Houston Glass. And Houston died on Sunday. And he was only aged 15. And he is Dr. Glass's son. So it's a very, very sad time when anybody dies. But when a 15-year-old young man dies, that is extremely sad for all concerned. So, Sherry, we will definitely pray for Houston. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. And we also pray for Dr. Glass and his family at this time. And all those who knew and loved Houston, all his school friends, etc., who must be absolutely devastated at this loss at this time.
Yeah. So sad. Very sad.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Kay. So we're now up to our third decade, Kay, and this one goes to you as well. So, Kay, who or what else would you like us to pray for?
Okay, on this one, I have two nieces, one named Sarah. Her baby, she's expecting a baby boy at the end of this month. And also I have another niece. Her name is Jennifer. They're siblings, but anyway, she's expecting a baby boy the early part of August, first week in August. So just like for both of them, they, you know, both have had good pregnancies. My niece Jennifer, the baby number 8, has had she has some trials with her pregnancies, but she always has. God bless her. But just praying for them and for their husbands and for their siblings. So, or I should say, their other children. So just for both of them to have, you know, healthy babies.
Tell me this, Kay, is this their first child or are they other children?
No, no. Sarah, this is her second child. And Jennifer, this is their 8th.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I know.
So Jennifer in particular is an old hand. She knows how this works, right?
Yes, God bless her. Her oldest just graduated from McGill 2 and Catholic High. So she goes oldest to now the baby Lucia is 2. So anyway, but we're just going to pray. So
absolutely. Well, we're gonna get the whole of the Archangel Radio prayer family on this now for Sarah, baby boy, at the end of June, and Jennifer for early August for safe deliveries. That the joy will be complete for mother and child on those days when those little souls come into this world, and we welcome them into the church at a later date as well when they all get baptized. That's wonderful. And there'll be nobody happier or more tearful than you, Kay, probably on the days when those little babies pop out.
Yes. Well, I've got 30 nieces and nephews, and I have 47, so this will make 49 great nieces and nephews.
I'm sure you agree with me. There's always room for a few more.
Always.
Absolutely.
On this, all right, well, go ahead. I have one more. I have a niece that has 2 friends that are battling cancer. I just want
to... No, let's hold that one. We'll come back to that, Kay, in a moment, because
okay.
There's a few illnesses we need to talk about in the next couple. But
okay.
Just for this one,
go ahead.
Think it's wonderful to have the joy of these 2 expectant mothers, Sarah
That's
and Jennifer,
right.
in our minds,
yeah.
and that we're praying for them very much today and their babies in the womb. And they can hear us as well. They're all part of God's great plan. So let's pray for these 2 mothers. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Kay. Now, one of the features that we have is that we often pray for the St. Lawrence Parish. They have a little prayer intention book, and somebody from Archangel often goes across and collects it and brings it across. And I think, Reed, you are now the custodian of all the St. Lawrence intentions.
I sure am, Kevin. I'll go ahead and list them off for us.
Sure.
From Bay, for the return of her children to the church. Mary is hoping for a successful surgery for Bella.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lady of Sorrows prayer group is praying for Jane, who is battling cancer, for Jim, who is fighting cancer, and then Lucy would like to pray for her entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some anonymous ones. One is for their son to come back to Jesus and to forgive their family and for the rift to kind of go away. One is for the conversion of those who have left the faith. And then we have one for, it's an anonymous person who wants to pray for the conversion of their husband, and that their husband will end his affair and for the restoration of their marriage. And Kevin, I would just love to pray for anybody who suffers from disordered attraction, that they may learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates.
Amen to that. Amen. That's a very, very, very timely prayer in this month, in particular, this month of humility and the Sacred Heart. So, well, that's a wonderful collection of prayer intentions, Kay, there from St. Lawrence. It's the same sorts of prayers that we get all the time. People wanting people to come back to their faith because they know that's what's best for them. Very human prayers for people who are battling cancer or in some form of illness. And also for those that are suffering in the family in some way, be it because of errant children, errant parents, or because of husbands and wives' problems in marriages. So we put all of this into the hands of our Lord on this in this month of June, this month of the Sacred Heart. We ask the Sacred Heart to be touched by our prayers and the divine mercy to pour out upon all these situations, to bring healing, to bring light, and ultimately to bring peace and joy into each of those situations, into the lives of everybody at St. Lawrence Parish.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Kay. So that's four down. Believe it or not, Kay, we are at the end. We have come to our fifth and final decade. So load us up, Kay. Who or what would you like us to pray for in this final decade?
Okay, buddy. God bless you. Just time passes by too fast. But it does. But God is good all the time.
Amen.
I said a minute ago, my niece, Tina, her best friend Sandy, who's battling breast cancer for the second time. So it's been a real shocker. And I talked to my niece yesterday, and I told her I would be, you know, saying and announcing it. And she really, truly appreciates that. She also has another friend named Carrie, who's also battling cancer. So, and I'm just going to say the names of the people that I had said before of my dearest friends, Mark, Joy, Alani, Dan, and, you know, anybody that's battling cancer or any type of illness, it's definitely can be a trying time for everybody, and we all learn from it, and hopefully we all get stronger, you know, because of it. And some of us don't make it through. I have my cousin, Deb, her husband that we prayed for, died not quite a month ago from lung cancer. So I'm asking prayers for her. And just, you know, play the repose of Jim's soul. But my cousin Deb, because she's very, 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 very faith-filled and very Catholic. But she's, you know, of course, right now she's just feeling the loss of her husband, who she's loved. So I would like everybody to be praying for all of those.
That's right. Sorry, was that your cousin there? Was that Deb's, did you say, was her name?
Her name's Deb, and her husband
Debs.
That died. Yeah,
Jim.
Deb.
Okay, we'll commend Jim's soul to God, and may his soul and souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. We'll pray for Debs. Debs, if you're listening to this, you've got a very good cousin in Kay, and we are lifting you up now to the Lord and asking the Prince of Peace to help you at this time in your suffering, in your sorrows. And we pray for Dan, Alani, Joy, Mark, Kerry and Tina. We ask for miracles on this show, as you know, Kay, and we're asking that these breast cancers disappear, that God be good to each of these women, and that they know that it is God who is good to them and become living apostles as a result of God's mercy.
Amen.
Now, Kay, one of the other features that we've started is that we pray for our guests on this show. So we've just had Jim Towie on. And we'll be praying for Jim and his intentions. But I asked him what intention he would like us to pray for. And he's asked us to pray for his little niece called Sophie Teresa, who is having heart surgery soon. I think it's the next few days. She's a young, I think she's six months old or something like that. She's having some heart problems. So we ask that Sophie Therese will be given the graces to get through that, and that soon she'll be a bonny baby with her mother and father, overjoyed at the recovery of their little child, and that Jim will also give thanks through the intercession, no doubt, of Mother Teresa. And I have one last intention before we finish, and that is for my good friend Amal. Amal's mother is not very well at the moment, Marguerite, and we're praying that whatever the difficulties are, that Marguerite, that the Lord will look kindly upon her and return her to the bosom of her family, very much the pride and joy of all her family members. So we pray for Marguerite at this time, and we also pray for you, Amal, at this difficult time. Pray for your intentions.
Yeah.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. And increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kay, thank you so much for taking time out today and praying with me here on Archangel Radio.
Always, Kevin. Thank you for everything and everybody at Archangel Radio. God bless each and every one of y'all.
And God bless you, Kay, and come back soon.
I will. I promise.
That was Kay Ream. the one and only prayer centurion here on the Turley Frequency, and we love having Kay on. She's an absolute wonder, beautiful in the eyes of God. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be speaking about a wonderful nun who's recently hit the headlines, but we're also going to be speaking about a Catholic who hit the headlines for all the wrong reasons, and we're going to be comparing, contrasting their lives and asking, what is the one thing necessary? Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. I hope your Tuesday is going well wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with. I hope it's a blessed time all round, and it's very, very good to have your company. It's so good to be back on air with you. I missed you all. I don't care what you say, I missed you. now, today I was looking at some of the news headlines, and two struck me very forcibly, both of which are to do with death, essentially. And no, it's not going to be depressing. They're already dead when I start on this, okay? So we're not having a martyrdom or talk about somebody about to go to the scaffolds and all the rest of it. No, it just got me thinking about really the whole purpose of our lives. Now, the first name you may have come across, it's certainly plastered all over the news and certainly the United States news feeds, and that is Robert Hansen. Robert Hansen, for those of you who don't remember, was convicted of spying back at the start of the century. And he had been on and off a Russian spy, a Soviet spy, from the sort of late 70s, early 80s, all the way up to his capture at the about 2001, I think he was arrested. He was subsequently tried and ended up in prison, and he died yesterday, incarcerated in prison. He was serving 15 life sentences. I'm not quite sure how you serve 15 life sentences. I'm not sure if they were consecutive, but he was effectively denied the possibility of parole, so he's never going to be released. So he spent about 22 years, roughly, approximately, in custody of one sort or another. And he died age 79. So he'd have been in his late 50s when he was arrested. Now, you might say, well, what's this got to do with me? Why are we reflecting on this? Well, Robert Hansen, certainly for some of his life, part of his life, was outwardly at least a very, very devout Catholic. He was happily married ostensibly to his very Catholic wife, and the children went to very Catholic schools, and he was very active in his faith in various ways. And this makes his duplicity, his spying, and the double life that he was leading all the more strange. How can you go to confession regularly, go to Mass each week, if not each day, as he did? How can you do all that and then live a life which is far from some basic commandments? Things like, thou shalt not steal official state secrets. There is something in the first commandment about the need to respect authority. The word traitor is not a good word in any language. And that's what Robert Hansen turned into. He turned into a traitor, selling state secrets to the Soviet Union for money. Now, do you remember yesterday we had Mike Church on the show giving the runners and riders of the various presidential hopefuls, both Republican and Democrat? And some of them are complete no-hopers by the sounds of things. And I did ask Mike, I said, well, what's their motivation? Why do they put themselves through this? And do you remember what Mike said? He said it was pride and vanity. And when I was reading about the life of Robert Hansen, I wondered if that was at the center of what this was all about, pride and vanity. He was a man who was an FBI agent. He was well paid. He was doing very well. His children and family were all well. He wasn't doing it simply for the money. And by all accounts, he wasn't particularly ideologically motivated. Sometimes you get spies who are crypto-communist or whatever. But during the day, he was an FBI agent trying to help his fellow FBI agents learn more about Catholicism while at the same time sometimes railing against communism of one sort or another. He seemed to be a man who was very confused. But sometimes it's good to come across lives like this, not because they edify us, because they don't. But they make us question our own motivations. You see, the problem with lives of the saints, and certainly how they have been presented until fairly recently, is that sanctity was something that saints had from the moment they came out of the womb. I grew up in an era where there were lots of little statues of saints, and the idea was that these people had always been holy. They had never known the struggles and the difficulties or the temptations that the rest of us had to deal with. Of course, this was nonsense, garbage, probably satanic garbage in a sense, because it's removing us from the reality of what holiness is. And we just heard Jim Towie talking about what holiness actually is, which is being faithful to God's calling. And then you become this extremely attractive figure that other people, to quote Jim, are not only attracted to, but liberated by. I was very struck when he was talking about how Mother Teresa, coming into her presence, liberated those that did so. And certainly in Jim's life, it seems to have liberated him from all sorts of things that he was involved in, and he found a completely new life. Not just with Mother Teresa, but it was through Mother Teresa, because working in the hostel for the AIDS sufferers in Washington, D.C., that he met his wife. So he discovered his vocation to marriage through Mother Teresa, in a sense, and all the children that they have, and so on and so forth. And Jim's life obviously has been totally marked by that encounter with holiness, genuine holiness. But the life of Robert Hansen is a reminder to all of us that even though we may be given much, much will be expected of us. Robert Hansen was given much in terms of spiritual formation, doctrinal formation, as well as lots of educational and societal benefits. But he chose to throw it all away. And so he dies, age 79, in a prison cell, on his own. Now, I don't know about you, but my blood sort of ran cold at that point, because my immediate thought, maybe your immediate thought as well, the thought of most Catholics is, I hope he died in a state of grace. I hope he had been to confession in the not too distant past. I hope that he'd made his peace with God many, many years ago. Because do you know what? If he did, and if he had, then this is not a sad story. This is not a story to grieve over. This is a story which is all very human, but has a divine ending. It reminds me a little bit of the story of Oscar Wilde. I'm sure you know this. Oscar Wilde, born in Dublin, became a great hit on the London fashionable circuit with his plays and his writing and all the rest of it. But Oscar Wilde had a secret, and that was the secret that from a very early age he was attracted to Catholicism. He wanted to be a Catholic. And as we all know, Oscar Wilde had other proclivities, shall we say, other torments that were attracting him. So the Catholicism was ultimately put to one side. There's a very famous story, a true story. He was about to go to receive instruction in the Catholic faith from a priest in London, in the London Oratory, the Brompton Oratory. And Oscar didn't turn up. Instead, he sent a very large bunch of flowers. It was a thoughtful gesture. He could have just not turned up, but that wasn't his way. Anyway, Oscar followed the path that he did, and he ended up in a scandal, and he ended up in prison as well. And he was released from prison, and he ended up going to Paris, where he was a pariah. The ordinary society, this social class that he had been part of, wanted nothing to do with him. His name was, as they say, dirt. But it kind of ends well, because almost alone in a Paris hotel, he had one friend with him. And as he was dying, he sent this friend out looking for a Catholic priest. And why did he do that? Because Oscar Wilde, on his deathbed, wanted to be received into the Catholic Church. The thing that he had struggled with all his life was not so much his sexuality, though much is made of that these days, but it was the hound of heaven. It was the divine mercy that had been searching for him all his life and finally found him in a Paris hotel room. Now, while I'm thinking of death, if any of you are Catholics and any of you are regular or even irregular consumers of Catholic media, be it websites or radio such as this, you will have come across this incredible story which has emerged from Missouri. And it involves Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, OSB. The OSB means that she was a Benedictine nun. Now, the story is that her Benedictine sisters went to exhume the body of their foundress, Sister Wilhelmina. And they did this on April 28th. Now, you might say, well, what's so strange about that? Well, she had been buried 4 years ago. And she was buried in a very simple wooden coffin. So in such circumstance, without embalming and all the rest of it, and no special circumstances, after 4 years, you might find some bones. You would find probably a lot of dust. But that's not what the sisters found. Let me take you through a little bit of what's been reported. The current mother, Abbess Cecilia, she had a flashlight with her, and she peered inside the cracked coffin of the original mother foundress, mother, Sister Wilhelmina. And when she did, the mother abbess let out a scream. Now, she later said to the press that it was, I quote, "I will never forget that scream as long as I live." Sorry, that's the quote from the other sister who was standing beside the mother abbess, who was the prioress, Sister Scholastica. Because it wasn't a scream which we get in horror movies, or screams you get in thrillers, or even perhaps screams you get at fairgrounds with joyrides and all the rest of it. It was, later, the sisters acknowledged, a scream of joy. Because what Mother Abbess had just seen was not a pile of dust or even a bone, but a very, very identifiable human foot still inside a black sock. So you know where this is going, right? So roughly 4 years after the burial of Sister Wilhelmina, her body was exhumed. Her unembalmed body was exhumed and found to be very much intact. This all happened at an abbey called the Abbey of Our Lady of Ephesus in rural Gower, Missouri. Abbey of Our Lady of Ephesus. It's a very interesting name. I might come back to that in a moment. It's the first time I've heard that, but it doesn't surprise me when we hear what happens next. So the news, obviously, has gone right the way around the world. Even secular broadcasters here in the United Kingdom were talking about Sister Wilhelmina's coffin and how this body was intact. Now, for us Catholics, this is not such an unusual occurrence. Probably like me, you've been to many religious sites where there are saints whose bodies are still perfectly intact. If you go to Lourdes, for example, in France, you can visit and see St. Bernadette's body still there. And there are many others like this around the world. And it's a miracle. It's a miraculous event. There is no scientific reason as to why Sister Wilhelmina's body should remain intact. There are lots of scientific reasons why her body should have crumbled and become dust. It's what we expect. What made me laugh, though, was the fact that Sister Wilhelmina was very much still dressed in her habit. Now, for those of you that don't know, Benedictine nuns, certainly traditional Benedictine nuns, they wear a very, very heavy habit, black from top to bottom. So the only thing sort of visible is their faces. They've got the sort of wimple and the long, sort of almost like a cassock type thing. And it's very heavy. I've been to Benedictine monasteries, quite a few of them. And recently, as you know, I stayed with Benedictine sisters. And their habits are very heavy. But being buried in a habit, which is traditionally the way that monks and nuns are buried, that habit, if 4 years in an airless compartment surrounded by mildew and all sorts of other things, you would expect that it would rot, deteriorate, and ultimately crumble, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but clothes do deteriorate. Even clothes that we wear and we wash and we hang out on the line, after a while, wear and tear, and the elements will get at them and they will slowly start to degrade. The first thing that should have degraded on Sister Wilhelmina was her habit. But, and here's the thing, it was extremely well preserved. The Mother Superior, and I'm quoting her, said, quotes, "It's in better condition than most of our habits," which I thought was a wonderful bit of Benedictine humor coming out. She went on to say, "This is just not possible. 4 years in a wet coffin, broken in with all the dirt, all the bacteria, all the mildew, all the mold, completely intact, every thread." But you see, there are lots of strange things about the story of Sister Wilhelmina, and hopefully we'll get to them in due course. But one of the strangest things is that very intact habit. And the reason is that, as we will discover, Sister Wilhelmina's religious life was dictated by others. And there came a point in her life, in the confusion of maybe 50 or 60 years ago in the church, where people were dispensing with habits. I can remember it clearly. Nuns suddenly turned from being cassocked figures to suddenly wearing whatever ordinary women wore. Civvies, as we call them over this side. And they all looked rather reduced as a consequence. That's just my opinion. But you see, Sister Wilhelmina, although she had been dispensed with the requirement of wearing a conventional habit, preserved that in the order that she was in at that time and continued to do so, much to the derision sometimes of her fellow co-religionists. And it was partly because of that symbolism of what the habit symbolized that she set off on a completely new path, founding the monastery which exists today in Missouri, and that was in 1995. I think it's important to know that when Sister Wilhelmina started or founded, as they say, that monastic institution, she was aged 70 years old. Now, I don't know about you, the more I started reading about Sister Wilhelmina, the more I was curious about who she was. Yes, the circumstances of her body being intact, and the way it has attracted lots and lots of pilgrims, and the way it's going to become, no doubt, a very much sought after pilgrimage site. All of that is good. I'm in favor of it all. But we know that God is not some sort of wonder worker. He doesn't do sort of cheap tricks. There is a reason and a purpose that perhaps we're still beginning to understand or beginning to fathom in why, at this point in history, Sister Wilhelmina has come to such public prominence. Because I am sure of one thing, and we say it all the time on this show, there is nothing of coincidence in the spiritual life. And Sister Wilhelmina's resurrection, if I can call it that, from the grave, is of a very interesting sort. Not least because Sister Wilhelmina is an African American. And she grew up in pre-segregation times. Also, what I will also talk about, but it'll be tomorrow now, is how this young woman, from a very early age, received a divine calling. Now, we've just been listening to Jim Towie talking to us about Mother Teresa. And what we do know is that from a very early age, Mother Teresa felt very called to become a missionary, from a very early age. Well, Sister Wilhelmina was even younger when she felt that divine call. And it wasn't just a divine call to follow our Lord. It was a divine call to be a cassocked sister, to wear the conventional habit of the Benedictines. And this came about shortly after her first Holy Communion. So can you see the things that are coming together here? There's something about the importance of the Eucharist. But there's also something about individual callings and how God works in the lives of young people in very, very profound ways. Something which is totally forgotten in these days when people assume that you have to go out and experience life before you can find your vocation. Well, in the instance of Mother Teresa and Sister Wilhelmina and many, many others, they knew at a very, very early age what God was calling them to. So for now, we're going to leave Sister Wilhelmina in her monastery in Missouri. Tomorrow we'll pick this up and we will investigate more the mystery of this holy woman, who she was, where she came from, and how she ended up coming back to such profound public prominence.
It's been a lot of fun today, Kevin.
I think so, Reed. I hope you've enjoyed it. I have.
Yes, certainly. What do we have coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're meeting Dale Leash, who is a local Alabama journalist who is coming to tell us all about what's happening on the local Alabama scene. He's a managing editor of various news sites, and he will be telling us just what's going on in the world of Alabama. And I'm looking forward very much to finding out more.
Great.
So until then, stay tuned to Archangel Radio, the only station you're going to need for the next 24 hours. Here, we just don't do the news, we do the good news. And we all need that from time to time in this world. It's been an absolute joy to be with you in these last couple of hours. I hope you've enjoyed it. Do feel free to join us again tomorrow, same time, same frequency, same Turley. And we look forward to talking together, praying together, and just being together. But until then, may God bless you and keep you, and may St. Joseph watch over each and every one of you.
Mercy Life of Alabama offers seniors a variety of care with a specialized team of healthcare professionals. As a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly, or PACE, Mercy Life provides free medical and social services to qualifying seniors. To enroll, participants must be 55 or over.